levels of healing. Years ago, when I was taking this class as a student, I can remember the first time that this module was taught. And it was like, wow, this just put a lot of things into place for me to understand God's working and the processes that we go through as we learn about healing and about applying it to our lives. So I hope that you'll find that same understanding, that same helpfulness in processing through the challenges that go on in your life when those challenges do come. So, levels of healing. See, God designed and desired us to grow in His Word, to grow in understanding, and the acting then upon His Word. We are never to be stagnant in our relationship with God, in our understanding, because I tell you what, He knows a whole lot more than we do. And one of our biggest challenges is we do not know what we do not know. So we always need to be on a growth path. We always need to be looking for what's next. As we've said around here before, if you're still getting your healing the same way you were a year ago or 5 years ago, then something is not right. We should always be growing in the Lord, growing in His Word, growing in understanding, growing in our faith as we act upon the Word, so that our healing comes in those different ways. And that's pretty much what this module is about. How does that growth path work? And through all of this, we need to be keeping our focus in the right place. As part of my testimony related to my heart, some of you may remember that at the beginning, I was so focused on the manifestation that I was looking for that I kept checking. You know, am I feeling better? Is my pulse doing better? Remember, I talked about how I used to keep checking my pulse. You know, I wanted to see, is there improvement? Is things changing? And one of the things I had to realize was that my focus isn't to be on the manifestation. My focus is to be on Jesus as my healer, on drawing closer to Him, on searching His Word and understanding more about healing. That was to be my focus. So really what ended up happening was the process of that 9 or 10 months of learning about healing, of going through the challenge of that healing, taught me so much. See, if all we did was instantly get healed every time, we wouldn't be growing much, because it's just like, oh yeah, no problem, do this, do that, done. Now, we want to get to that point where we can live in that divine health all the time and challenges roll off our backs. But you don't get there by having instantaneous healings the whole time. You get there by growing in your understanding of what the Word says and increasing your knowledge of the Word, so that as you are seeing the Word of God and understanding it, then you're able to act on it in faith, and there is a progression of growth that is happening. So let's talk about some of these stages, and then we'll talk about some of the processes that go on as we go through these various stages. Level number one, ask the elders to anoint you with oil. So first thing I want you to notice is that it's ask the elders. That means that the person that's asking is not an elder, is not at a place of understanding about healing. And so we're talking here about newer people, or either brand new Christians, or we're talking about Christians that have not understood healing and are now beginning to learn about healing. So they're young in their understanding of healing. So James 5:14 says, "Is any sick among you?" The tenor of that question is that the answer should be no. Because Jesus provided healing for us. If I were to ask you that question here, the same way that James asked it to the people he was writing to, is any sick among you? The answer should be no. Then he goes on to someone that might be in that position. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. So we see here that this is a new person. It is, they are relying in on this stage on the faith of the ones praying. Let them say the prayer of faith along with the anointing of oil in the name of the Lord. And they don't know much about confessing their sins, because not only are they raised up from their sickness, but if they've committed any sins, they are forgiven them. So I remember this one, and we've done this in a lot of different ones, but this one in particular, we were doing the demonstration of anointing with oil from this very scripture. And this, the idea of that demonstration, kind of like we did in semester one, I don't know, maybe the fourth, fifth, sixth time we did it, we had somebody come up that had a challenge, and then we were to anoint them with oil. And the idea then was to walk them through the healing methods, secondary healing methods. You know, remember the thing with, you know, if what you, when you came up, if the challenge was a 10, what is it now? And we'd walk down the numbers, doing affirmations, that kind of thing. Well, anyway, this one time, this one lady came forward, and she had had a challenge that caused her to, I believe it was her back, to be in pain. She had been in almost constant pain for 10 years. And so she came forward. It was her first time at healing school, first real exposure. And so we brought her up, and I anointed her with oil, and just the look that came across her face after I finished anointing her with oil, she just had this look of shock. She said, "It's gone. It's gone." It didn't help the demonstration, because I couldn't go on to do any further demonstration of what we were trying to demonstrate. But the anointing of oil with a new person who's never experienced it is very often very dramatic. It's instantaneous. And if affirmations are needed, maybe 5, maybe 10. We've seen that happen over and over again. But the idea of that is that it's supposed to be a starting point of our growth and understanding in healing. Now, it is an effectual way of doing it. Pastor Kenneth E. Hagin has this wonderful testimony about when he was a new believer, after he had been raised up off of his deathbed, and he was beginning to learn more about healing. He woke up one morning, and he had what the doctors would call Bell's palsy. One side of his face was drooping like he had had a stroke. And it was a Wednesday, I believe, and he said, "Ah, I know at the Pentecostal church tonight they're going to be praying for the sick, so I'm going to go and get anointed with oil." He knew that the scripture that if one is anointed with oil, that they would be healed. And so he said, "I'm going to go tonight and have the pastor pray for me." So he went to the service that night. The pastor started concluding the service, and he thought, "I don't think they're going to pray for people tonight." And so he spoke up and he said, "Pastor Jones," whatever his name was, he said, "Are you not going to pray for the sick tonight? Because I could sure use it." And so he said, "Sure, come on up, young man." And so he went up and he anointed him with oil. And so he walked away and he still looked the same. So some of the kids in the church, they were going to go over to one of the parents' homes and have some ice cream or something like that. So anyway, so he's walking with the kids, and he's talking about how excited he is about having been healed. And so they'd be walking along together, and they'd come up to the streetlight, and they would stop and look at him and say, "You know, Ken, you don't look like you've been healed." He says, I may not look like it. I don't go by what I feel. I don't go by what I look like." He says, "I go by what Jesus has said, that if you anoint the sick with oil, they shall be healed." And so they walked on a little bit further, and he kept talking about how excited he was to be healed because of the anointing with oil, and got to the next street light, and it was the same thing. So then they finally got to the person's house and said, "Well, come talk to my mom." And so comes talk to his mom, and this person's mom looks at him and says, "You don't look like you've been healed." He said, "I don't care. I have been healed because I was anointed with oil." Yeah. And so then he went home, went to bed, woke up the next morning, completely fine. So the anointing with oil is an effective means of receiving healing. But it's the beginning point. Now, I want to remind you, as we go through these things, you probably, as you look down the list there, you'll notice that all of these, with the exception of number 5, all of these are primary healing methods. So what that means is that, like in the case of Pastor Hagin, if there wasn't a manifestation at the time that you were anointed with oil, then you go on to the secondary healing methods. Notice the bold print right under the chart. Foundational to all 5 healing actions above is that they should be followed by affirmations and other actions of spiritual warfare. What is that? Secondary methods. What was Brother Hagin doing? He was declaring out of his mouth that he had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so he was doing affirmations as he was walking along there with his friends. And every time they would counter it, he would do more affirmations. "No, I have been healed." So this is the beginning point. Now, how do you know when it's time to move to another level? Now, this is not an intellectual process of I know what the word says, and so I can move on to another level. No, look at what it says there under move to a higher level. When the believer understands in his or her heart that where 2 or 3 agree in the name of Jesus, it will be done for them. So what that, of course, is referring to is the prayer of agreement, which is healing action number 2. Again, I want to stress, this is a faith growth point. Notice that it says, when the believer understands in his or her heart. We're not talking about understanding in one's head, mental assent. We're talking about understands with their heart. So someone, for example, has been had some challenges. They've gone a number of times to be anointed with oil. And they see that it is working. There is success there. So then, but as he's growing in the Lord, as he's studying the Word, he begins to understand that, you know what? I don't need to go for anointing with oil. I could just simply have someone agree to me, because I know that the Word says that if two or three agree on anything on earth, that it shall be done for them. So it's, you know, and as they meditate on that scripture, as they think about it, faith begins to be wrapped around that scripture. And so then they say, you know what? I don't need to go to somebody to anoint me with oil. You don't have to wait till I'm with somebody or whatever. Hey, I can just call my buddy who also believes, and I could say, hey, just agree with me that this challenge, that I have been healed. So they agree together, and sure enough, healing comes. The manifestation appears. It's like, wow, this is great. Thank you, Jesus. So now they know that there's two ways. They could go to somebody and be anointed with oil, or they could call somebody or grab somebody at church and say, hey, would you agree with me on this? And they can pray in agreement and see healing happen. Now, a couple of things about the prayer of agreement. We just looked a little bit at the scripture. Let me read it for you in total. Again, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall possibly, maybe, I added some words there, didn't I? It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So the prayer of agreement. Now, in order for the prayer of agreement to be agreed upon, there needs to be agreement. So if somebody comes to you and says, you know, next week I'm scheduled for surgery for this particular challenge, will you agree with me for a successful surgery? And this person of faith says, well, why aren't you believing that surgery can be canceled? Well, that sounds all in good, all in well, but what's happened is you now have people on two different levels. So it's best for the one at the higher level to go down and say, you know what, I can agree with you that you'll have a successful surgery. That's good. Now, it can work you need to be aware of the other way also. If you're at a higher level and you're wanting somebody to believe for you for a miraculous restoration or whatever, and you go to somebody who's not at your level, and they may say with their words, I agree with you, but in their mind they're thinking, wow, I don't know that can happen. I mean, I've never heard of that before. And I mean, they got all this fear and doubt and unbelief going on. So again, that's not at a level of agreement. So you need to make sure you grab somebody that's at a similar level of agreement with you. I mean, it can be a higher level, but you need to make sure it's not somebody that is at a lower level. We had a man some years ago that woke up one morning and found that a blood vessel had burst in his eye. His eye was all red and he couldn't see. And so he called Pastor Joshua and he said, brother, this is what happened, and I want you to agree with me that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So Pastor Joshua says, I agree with you, brother. Thank you. Hung up the phone. And a month or so later, he called back and said, thank you, brother. I got my victory. So the prayer of agreement. So the person now is, you know, they've seen the effect of the anointing with oil. They've seen the effect of the prayer of agreement. And so now they begin to, as they're continuing to study the word, they've come across Mark 11, 24. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know that scripture? The prayer of faith. And as they are studying that prayer of faith, as they're meditating on it, they say, you know what? I can just ask God. I desire to be healed. He's promised healing to me. I can pray and believe that I receive when I pray. And so now, instead of anointing with oil, instead of calling someone for a prayer of agreement, they can stand themselves on the word of God and believe that they have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Again, I want to stress this. It is all those letters there, the WTBUIHH. When the believer understands in his heart. So what's moving you along is not because you've been in healing school and learned some things. It's not because you've been reading the healing scriptures and you learned some things. It's because in that learning process, your faith is growing. And so what pulls you along from one level to another is your faith in the Word of God as you are learning higher levels of understanding from the Word. It pulls you along. It isn't something that you're reaching for. It's something that pulls you along. You understand what I'm saying? Now notice that in these two that we've looked at in detail so far, the anointing with oil and the prayer of agreement, the way that I've been presenting it, is based on successes. It's based on successes. It's not based on failure. In other words, well, this didn't work, let's try that. No, it's based on successes. We've had successes. Now, what tends to happen is this. At the very beginning, like anointing with oil, it'll oftentimes, the first two or three times, it'll just happen immediately. Bang, you got your healing. You got the manifestation of healing. But then it starts to take a little bit longer. Now you start having to do more affirmations. Do some other things. Making sure you're confessing your sins. Doing communion more often. You begin to see it's taking longer. But see, as you're growing in the Lord, you're beginning to understand about prayer of agreement. So it's like, you know, this time I'm going to do prayer of agreement. So it's not based on failure, it's based on the successes you've had. So then you start doing prayer of agreement, and you begin to see the same pattern. At first, it just happens immediately. It's just bang, right there. It's happening. And then you begin to notice it starts taking a little bit longer. Starts taking a little bit longer. You got to work through the processes again. But see, as you're going through the process, you're standing in faith. Your faith is in the Word of God, is getting more and more purified to become the faith that it needs to be to stand on the Word successfully. So let's look a little bit more specifically at the prayer of faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you, fill in the blank,
desire.
I heard it a couple of places. Come on, you guys. When you
desire.
No, we already said desire. Come on. Whatsoever things you desire when you
pray.
Pray, yes. Believe that you receive. Amen. And you shall have them. So we're talking about the prayer of faith. The three conditions of the prayer of faith is to desire, to pray, and then to believe that you receive. Amen. Believe that you receive. And when those three conditions are met, then you shall have them in the future. You believe now at the time when the prayer of faith is said, and you shall have them in the future. So now you've grown to that point where you believe what the Word says. If I pray and believe God, then I'll see the manifestation. So we begin to process through that. And, I mean, we could give hundreds of examples, testimonies of that process working in our lives. We all have those kind of testimonies where we have stood in faith, no matter what it felt like, no matter what it looked like. And we have seen then the manifestation of our prayers. So then, the process then of moving into the next level. We begin to realize, when a believer understands in his or heart that Jesus paid the price for their healing on the cross 2,000 years ago, and there is no need to ask God today for your healing. The problem is the devil is trying to steal your healing. So I can remember going through this process and getting to that point, you know, after doing the prayer of faith. And I mean, that's what I was standing on a lot, was a prayer of faith. And I can remember realizing one day, wait a second, Jesus died for me 2,000 years ago. That's why we say that we have been healed, that we were healed. I thought, I don't need to pray and ask him to heal me. It's already been done. I just need to proclaim it, to expect his healing. So then it moves us to the prayer of authority. It's already been done. All I need to do is to proclaim it out of my mouth. Say, no, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Pain, go. You begin to speak to the parts of your body. You know, stomach, be made whole. Digestive system, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in Jesus' name. We begin to pray the prayer of authority. I have seen this up close and personal with Penny in particular. She is really good at using the prayer of authority to see things happen. When a pain comes, she just takes authority over it. It's gone. When some other challenge happens, she just takes authority over it. So I've seen that happen in her life. I've seen it happen in my life. I can remember walking along and just, you know, I was out for a walk. And then all of a sudden, the whole left side of my body just went numb. And I had a choice. I say, oh, no, what happened? You know, or pull out a cell phone and call 911, or you know, there's all kinds of things that one could do. I said, no, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I just start walking more briskly, more boldly, and just in a matter of seconds, it's gone. So living by the prayer of authority. Remember what Jesus said. 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. This is the prayer of authority. We say to the mountain, remember that this was right after Jesus had demonstrated it with the fig tree, when he had cursed the fig tree and it was dried up from the roots, that within 24 hours. And they said, wow, how did that happen? And he said, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. And he says, therefore I say unto you, if you speak to a mountain, if you speak to a tree, if you speak to a circumstance in your life, then, and not doubt in your heart, then you'll have whatsoever things you say. And remember, as we have looked at this verse before in the past, the middle say there, where it says, believe those things which he saith, is an ongoing lifestyle type saying. In other words, part of your lifestyle, when you're in a going through your life and a situation comes and you speak to that situation, that pain or whatever it is, you speak to it, then at that instant in time, if it has been your lifestyle to believe that the things you say will come to pass, then you shall have whatsoever things that you say. So it is a lifestyle of saying those things. So going on to John 14:14, says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14. That word ask there means to demand. To demand something that is do you, something that has already been promised, something that has already been set aside, set apart for you. So we are not demanding God to do something. We are demanding that the evil one release his hold on it. We're demanding that it come from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. So whatsoever things you ask, demanding what is already yours, then he says, I will do it. Jesus says, I will do it. And we've learned also that word do it also implies that if he doesn't have it, he will make it. He'll provide it. Now, what's interesting is that same word, say, that same Greek word translated say in Mark 11:24 as pray. It's the exact same word. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray. So the essence of that prayer is demanding what is already yours. So you desire it. You then pray, Father, your word says this, and it is mine. I believe it. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Therefore, I expect it to come into my life. That's your prayer. And then you believe that you receive. So in the same way, you say, or whatsoever thing you say, he will, in his name, he will do it. Notice also that it is in his name. His name. Because that is our authority. That is our, that's where the power comes from. It's not our power. It's his power that is in us. in Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, where Jesus has been raised from the dead by God's mighty power. It says, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And then it says, goes on, it says in verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And then in chapter 2, verse 6, it says that we have been raised up and seated with him in heavenly places. So where does that put us? It also puts us far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That's what gives us the authority, because we are seated with Christ. So we use his name, we understand our place in Christ Jesus, and then whether the situation is caused by demons, devils, and evil spirits, or whether it's caused or some other organic cause, we'll talk a little bit more about the specifics of that in a minute, whatever the name that could be given to it, Jesus' name is above that. So nothing is impossible, no matter what it looks like in the natural. We can take authority over it in the name of Jesus. So as you can see here, the growth of faith and understanding, I shouldn't say the growth of faith, but understanding the word then gives us the opportunity to believe his word and to act and speak it. Act on it and speak it. So the next stage then, as we are acting in the prayer of authority, is to believe in your heart that demons and evil spirits are behind the sicknesses and diseases. Remember what was said about Jesus in Acts 10:38, that God anointed him, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So behind every challenge in our life is a demonic component of some sort. Whether it be an injury, a challenge of some kind of disease or disorder, the doctor can look at it, and all he can see is the organic nature behind it. But behind that organic nature, there is demons, devils, and evil spirits. And so, as we begin to understand that, that behind every sickness and disease are demons, devils, and evil spirits, then not only do we take authority over the pain, over the sickness, over the challenge that we may be dealing with, but we also then take authority over the demons, devils, and evil spirits. Because, like I just said, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all those principalities and powers and mights. So we have authority over them. So not just what is, not just the physical thing that's going on in our body or our life, but also the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind it. And as you grow in understanding your authority, you'll realize how much demons, devils, and evil spirits do affect you, and how effective it is to bind them. Spirits of infirmity, spirits of behind the pain, even evil spirits of things like witchcraft, of Jezebel. Different types of spirits can affect you physically and emotionally. So you may have to deal with some of those kind of things as well. Because once you effectively deal with them, cast them out of your life, cast them off your body, then you'll find that healing comes. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons." So we have, in the name of Jesus, the authority to cast out demons. Matthew 18:18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Shall be loosed in heaven. So we bind, we loose. In James 4, 6 and 7, it says, "But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So as you humble yourself before God, what are you actually doing? You're submitting yourself to him, which is exactly what James 4, 7 says. So he gives grace to the humble, so submit yourself. Therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So by casting him out of our lives, by understanding the demonic influences in our lives, we can resist him, and he has no choice but to flee. So we submit to God's authority, his word. We humble ourselves. You are my healer. I bind and cast out every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind this challenge, behind this pain, behind this infirmity, and I cast them out of my life, out of my body, out of my home, in the name of Jesus. And when we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a look real quick at the notes. I've been trying to emphasize some of these points from the notes, but I think they'll be helpful if we look at them more in depth. Note number one, the upward growth comes from believing in your heart. The Word of God is engrafted in your heart when you act on it or speak it. Growth does not come from mental assent or mental understanding. This means that generally for most people, you must have been acting in faith and have achieved some success at a lower level before you move upwards. So remember, we're allowing our faith to pull us up, not trying to use faith to reach for something that we're not sure of yet. It is important to note that one does not move upwards as a result of failure. So it's not like, well, this isn't working, I guess I better try something else. You know, flip through the notes, oh, I haven't tried that yet. No, we grow through our successes. What that usually means, if you're not being successful at a particular level, is because your faith is not where it needs to be for that level. So you've got to work on the Word of God, work on speaking it, work on acting on it. You might be giving up too soon. In other words, but see, with faith, there is no giving up. But if you get to a point where you're saying, gee, it's not working, you've just given up on it. So if you see that you are not seeing the manifestation, what do? You dig back in. Well, wait a second. What do I know? Well, I know that the Word says that if I'm anointed with oil, they've prayed over me in the name of Jesus with the prayer of faith, it says that God will raise them up, God will heal their sickness, and forgive them of all their sins. If that's what I know, then that's what I need to stand on. So you just keep standing there until you see success. So we don't move based on failure. We move when based on success. We move based on growing in understanding the word and acting on it. So after experiencing success on a previous level, one may choose to move to a higher level if on a subsequent challenge the time to manifestation seems to be significantly longer than the previous challenges. See, God is wanting us to grow. And so we need to continue in a growth path. Note number two, once you attain a certain level, it may be necessary at times to act also at one or more lower levels. Typical levels, two or four. For example, one puts 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. In these instances, you are not re-praying for your healing, but getting assistance in spiritual warfare. So let's say you're at level number three, a prayer of faith. You're believing God, you've prayed, you're standing in faith, you're doing your affirmations, you're doing your secondary methods, doing spiritual warfare, but you're just not yet seeing the manifestation. Now, you might want to go to someone and say, hey, you know what? I'm believing God for this. Would you agree with me? So you're not re-praying the prayer. It's just simply asking for some help, some boost with somebody else's involvement. Or you may go to somebody. I know Penny and I have done this several times, where being challenged and standing in faith, not seeing the manifestation, would you anoint me with oil? I mean, she's anointed me with oil. I've anointed her with oil at different times. And we've seen the success of that. We're standing in faith, but we could use the help of someone else as part of spiritual warfare. It's not re-praying the prayer because we're standing in faith, right? When we stand in faith, we've only prayed it once, and we're believing God. There is no shame or guilt or condemnation going back to a lower level. These are all lies of the enemy. The goal is to be set free from health challenges, and it involves spiritual warfare. And in war, there can be give and take, up and down, a victory slash defeat. But in Jesus, eventually we will always win if we do not give up. I've kind of seen it like this as an illustration that we've used around here before. It's kind of like when you have the hose going and you go to turn it off at the spigot. The water seems to stop, but when you go to pick up the hose, there's usually water left in, right? And it'll squirt out. So what often will happen, you pray, you're believing God for something, and it continues. It happened again. And so then you think, you can either say, well, I guess it didn't work, which is not what we should say, right? Or you can say, wait a second, that was just one last ditch effort by the enemy. That was the one that was still in the pipeline when we when we had prayed. And so you just continue to believe God. So there can be give and take. We win a battle, we lose a battle. We win an episode, we lose an episode. But we know that by standing in faith, we are going to win. One of the things that, let's say you've got a challenge with a pain and you're standing in faith for that pain, but it's getting worse. Well, often that means that there is some demonic issue going on behind it if it tends to get worse. So in a case like that, then bind some demons and cast them out of your life. It may be a time to take care of some some unconfessed sins, some issues that you're having with offense or something like that. Take care of those things. Stop giving the enemy inroad into your life. Note number three, what Pastor Joshua is doing today. For most challenges, a few affirmations lead to manifestation, but in rare cases, many thousands. Using affirmations is a way to break curses, bad habits, memories, that kind of thing. So if you're having a challenge with memories of past incidences, traumas, offenses, or something that keep coming up, you can use affirmations as a way to break that, or bad habits, or whatever. Number four, as calendar time goes on, the relationship of the number of affirmations to the time of manifestation works like a bell curve. Initially, it starts out with a few affirmations, results in a short time to manifestation. But then manifestation takes a lot of affirmations over a longer period of time, eventually returning to a few affirmations, yielding a short time to manifestation. So you know what we're talking about when we talk about a bell curve, right? So it starts off with a few affirmations, and then a gradual increase to maybe thousands of affirmations. Now this is not necessarily in the course of a single challenge that you're having, but in the course of your dealing with challenges in your life. And I found that true in my life. Initially, the manifestation comes pretty quickly. Just a few affirmations, maybe 25, 50, 100. But then I went through that one challenge that I did over 500,000 affirmations during that period. And there have been other challenges where I've had to do a lot of affirmations. But then gradually, like Pastor Joshua in my life, has gotten to the point where just a few affirmations will usually take care of it. Take authority over it, a couple of affirmations, and it's usually gone. So, and I know Penny's here shaking her head because she's seen the same thing in her life and some of the challenges she's been through, where she has literally done thousands upon thousands a day for a long period of time. And so we see the same thing. She sees the same thing in her life, just a couple of affirmations, taking authority, and it's usually gone pretty quickly. If it does stick around, there may be times to do more affirmations. That's okay. Again, we're looking for the manifestation. However, the percentage of success works more like a step curve. Starts gradually with some success and then levels off. Then the percentage of success increases, then it levels off. And the process is repeated until eventually all challenges are met with success. So as you're dealing with challenges in your life, you may see that stair step effect of a lot of successes, and then it starts to slow down a little bit, and then it goes to another level, more successes. As you continue to work through the process of growing in your understanding of the Word, of standing on the Word more effectively, of implementing the secondary methods and going through all different stages like we're talking about, you will eventually see manifestation. The idea is that we get to the point where the evil one has no holds in our life, no hindrances, and the challenges just roll off our back like water off of a duck's back. Amen.
Amen.
So that, to put it in context of our life and of our times, we need in these last days to be as healthy as we can be. We need to be walking in the fullness of the manifestations in our lives so that we can be effective in preparing the way for Jesus' return. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm back. Okay, we've got a couple of things that we need to take care of today as we finish this service. First of all, If you'll look at your at the exercises today, or the I should say the homework assignment page, there's two curses which I kind of consider sister curses that we need to deal with for next Sunday, October 6th, and that is on rejection and anger. So go ahead and prepare your lists using those categories and the details for each of those, and then we will next Sunday deal with that. Now, we've had an assignment that we did a while ago on for breaking curses on fear, and I apologize. You know, sometimes what happens is we have such amazing services, and it just seems contrary to that service to come up afterwards and break curses, either because of the length of the teaching or because of the situations going on. So anyway, I know we were supposed to do this a couple weeks ago, but we're going to do it today. So if you can take out whatever list that you have on fear, we will break curses on fear today. Okay. So let me lead you in this prayer. Almighty God, you are my heavenly Father.
You have not given me a spirit of fear,
nor confusion,
but of power,
of love,
and a sound mind.
In the name of Jesus,
I have a sound mind
because I have
the mind of Christ.
I thank you, Abba Daddy,
that I am no longer in bondage to fear
because of the fear of death.
I believe in Christ Jesus.
He is my Savior.
He lives in me.
And there, and He is the way
when there seems to be no way.
He is the truth.
And His truth says,
I am the life and the resurrection.
Life is in me.
And the life of God
is in me.
The Spirit of God in me
drives out
all sickness,
all disease,
all infirmity,
all death,
and all fear.
For the Spirit of God in me
quickens,
gives life
to my mortal flesh
on an ongoing basis.
In the name of Jesus,
I am free
from fear.
I am free
from the fear of death.
I say,
in the name of Jesus,
fear, I don't want you.
In Jesus' name,
I repent of every sin of fear
in my entire life
and on this paper.
From the moment I was conceived,
and fear entered me
from people around me,
all the way up until now.
In Jesus' name,
fear,
you are not my master.
Jesus is my master.
Fear, I renounce you.
In the name of Jesus,
I take away the legal right of fear
to be in me,
on me,
to speak to me,
to be in my health,
in my finances,
in my life,
in my home,
in my family,
in my church,
in my business.
Fear,
you have no part of me.
I have been set free by Jesus Christ
of all sins of fear.
In Jesus' name,
he or she
whom the Son sets free
is free indeed.
Amen.
And I agree with each one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now I'm done.
Father, we thank you that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, in remembrance of what you have done for us, Jesus." How awesome. You took upon yourself every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. You suffered them all so we would not have to. And so, by the stripes that you took upon your body, Jesus, we have been healed and made whole. And we thank you for that so much. We take our faith action plan of partaking of the broken body of Jesus in our hands, receiving the broken body in exchange for the healing and wholeness that belongs to us. We call forth that manifestation in each one of our bodies as we receive now together in Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you, for remission from sins." Thank you, Jesus. Once for all sacrifice. So much power in your precious holy blood. And you've made that available to us even now, ongoing. For the life of Jesus Christ is in this blood. And this blood goes to every cell, every fiber, every organ, every system of our bodies, bringing life and health and strength and renewal and refreshing. We thank you, Jesus. We want all that you have for us. And we receive with joy in remembrance as we now partake together.